your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and I'm calling in, which I don't know if the listeners know this, but I travel around and I call in from wherever I am. And today I'm just about an hour outside of Mexico City in a beautiful landscape, mountains and wonderful bird sounds and wind chimes and so on. So if you hear funny noises in the background, that's what's happening here. Today I have with me a Reiki student that I met, gosh, I don't even know how many years ago now it was. And we've enjoyed lots of things together, including playing golf and sitting around and talking about spiritual practice. And he's very into presenting spiritual practice as something that's a very, very much a daily practice. So today we have with us Raj Elsinger from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Raj, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. Good to be here.
It's wonderful. After all these months of imagining what this would be like.
And contrary to your setting, my setting is a third floor condo in downtown Albuquerque where a revitalization is going on. Yeah. But there are plenty of birds and trees, and the Rio Grande is only 13 blocks away, which is easy to reach, so it's a combination of what you got plus what we've created in this thing called civilization or urban living. So we're smack in the middle of it here in Albuquerque.
All right.
We dearly love it.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Raj, I loved your synopsis of your life of spiritual seeking, and I asked Raj if what happened after he kicked the stone in the road, but actually it was a cow patty in the middle of the barnyard. So I guess I'll take it from there. I mean, it's a great, I found that this memory of yours was really wonderful because it felt a little bit like a burning question, a bit like Mikao Usui's burning question of how did Jesus heal, or Dr. Hayashi's burning question of can I be with people and heal them in a different way than repairing bodies after war? And Hawaii Otakata's burning question of how do I keep myself healthy and take care of my children because I'm all they have. And, I think each one of us as human beings comes to a place of finding our burning question and then, I don't know, somehow some energy kind of draws us to different people and events and places, and I'm really interested to hear what your people and places were like.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the memory of the kicking episode was about 5 or 6 years old. I believe it is my earliest memory that I can look back and say, what's the first thing I can remember? I remember other things, 7, 8, 9 years old, like standing in the middle of the farmyard outside the house, seeing my mother coming out of the house and realizing for the first time that she was over there and I was over here and that we were two separate people. The whole illusion of separation, that I'm not her, she's not me, she's over there, I'm over here. We're separate beings, totally separate. That illusion took hold probably maybe even before 5 when I had that, but I can't peg that in years. But the kicking one, I think, was about 5, 6 years old when that occurred. And that kind of followed a pattern. I started really, really early, apparently at about 6 months old, because I was born during the drought and the depression and the Dust Bowl in a Dakota farmhouse. And where my mother spent all day trying to keep the dust from coming in the windows and the grasshoppers outside. And I got pneumonia. I tried to exit. In fact, my parents gave me up for dead and left the hospital and went home to do chores one day, and an old nurse put me on the windowsill in a March snowstorm and said, "You little bugger, you come back or you go. Make up your mind." And I guess I came back.
Wow, here you are, some years later.
But I think I was looking for a way out very, very early, because it takes me back to that kicking episode of which brought up the question, going down the barnyard, why did things have to be this way?
Uh-huh.
Because there was a lot of dysfunction and fear and friction and that sort of thing in a 1936 Dakota farmyard, farmhouse, and especially when there was no money, the banks had closed and all that. And it was very, very difficult times. I admire my parents for having even survived it in somewhat of a sane fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to come through that kind of tension. I was the fourth of six children.
Wow.
In 8 years, you know, that kind of a situation. And that question of why do things have to be this way, I think, has driven me all my life. And it drove me to the seminary at 15. I got out at 26 years old and ordained a Catholic priest and went into parish work and tried to help people wrestle with that same question. And I think what bothered me most profoundly in parish work was that there were a whole lot of people not asking that question. They seemed to be pretty content to just kind of keep turning the crank, as far as I could perceive it, and keep on doing their daily stuff. But to me, if you weren't asking that question, what are you getting up for? So I was a little, let's say, single-minded about this, to put a nice term on it. But that has driven me my whole life. And it took me at 32 to leave the Catholic Church, because I was disillusioned with the bottom line there being expansion and control. And instilling fear is how I saw it from step one to when the doors closed. It was a way of maintaining control, all for the sake of the welfare of people's salvation, but it just seemed totally saturated with the element of fear. And the illusion of separation. I'm here, God's up there. You're over there working on your salvation. I'm here working on mine. And, you know, I just instinctively knew there was something just really, really not complete about that, and began to look. So spent 8 years, you know, huge amount of silence doing meditation with the Transcendental Meditation people. And went from there through Theosophy and Buddhism and, you know, on and on and on, trying to find the system that seemed to have the answer. And finally arrived at a point, and that's when Reiki came into my life, you know, about 12 years ago, where I began to instinctively know that I was looking outside for something I had to find inside. Mm. I could have survived, I think, very happily and healthily in any of those systems if I'd had this internal apparatus rearranged first. But that's not the way I started out. It was very strict German, rural, Catholic upbringing, grade school.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was in school from grade 1 to 26 years old, 4 years of postgraduate work in theology, and never had anything but a priest or a nun up at the head of the class. And so it was a very strictly controlled environment educationally.
Uh-huh.
And thinking that truth was a matter of the mind and that you could define it, and that truth was the most important thing in the world. And I've got a little note written down in preparation for this little program saying truth does not equal, spirituality does not equal truth. And I think
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is just because you think you've got truth doesn't mean that you're involved in what I call spirituality at this point. Truth is a matter of the mind. And spirituality uses the mind from time to time and in various ways as an ally and a tool, but it starts more with imagination, with myth, with instinct, with intuition. It's not in the analytical mind. And, you know, I've tried to define what spirituality is through these years, and the closest I can come up with it is that it's some kind of a process of waking up to the nature of the universe that we're part of. Now, a lot of people get in a hurry to put that down as God and the planets, you know, to oversimplify and make it controllable and explainable. Well, when I say universe, I'm thinking of seen and unseen, you know, defined and undefined. It's the broad context that we are a creative part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that word creative is key. That's where they get the doctrine and the religions about the Creator made us in His image. Well, that's a very blunt way of saying we've got this creative impulse. Where'd it come from? What do we do with it? And I see spirituality as participating in the universe in a creative fashion. Now, whether it means believing in a separate God, especially one that's a person, which I began to suspicion immediately because that sounds like we're making God in our image.
you know, well, that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, we reversed the process there when we call God a person, especially when we call it three of them. In fact, I think the Trinity thing was invented to make the personhood of God seemed ridiculous, that we would get off that. But instead, we've taken it and run with it. And Jesus is our best friend and all this kind of stuff. We've boiled them down to our own level so we can make sense of it. But in reality, I see spirituality as participation in a universe that our mind just cannot fathom because it's so much subtler than what the mind can comprehend, so much more subtle and pervasive and powerful. The mind can't define life. It can't define meaning. It can be used in that process of dealing with all that, but it sure can't get itself around it. You know, we've struggled to do that for eons, and I think we get ourselves into trouble when we try to nail it down in terms of truths and dogmas and doctrines and definitions and rituals and organizations. Then we're in the business of doing spirituality rather than being spiritual.
So,
any of that make any sense?
Yeah, it's very provocative.
yeah, some folks might want to throw a bomb through my window right now.
Oh, no, I hope not.
Yeah, in reality, I really have a very deep sense of empathy for the human endeavor that tries to look beyond just materialism.
Right.
What do we do with this life after you've got everything you basically need to be safe and comfortable? What do we do with ourselves? We have to get creative.
Right. Well, this is a very thoughtful question, and you listeners will have a couple of minutes to think about this.
Okay.
We're just about ready for a station break, and we'll be back with Raj and myself to discuss more about spirituality. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an
analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And, Raj is one of those very outspoken and wonderful questioners, because what I've been doing as he's been talking, sitting here looking out in this pretty fabulous semi-tropical landscape, is just looking at this orange tree in front of me and thinking, well, how did this get created, that a fruit of this tree eventually will ripen, fall to the ground, and if a seed takes hold, will get reproduced somehow, and it keeps growing. And it seems like that one of the things that I've learned in Reiki is that's a little bit how human beings are, but the reproduction part is a bit more complicated. And how did I get here, and why am I here? And this seems like questions that cavemen have been struggling with. At least it feels like there's evidence on the cave walls for this. So here we are still, you know, thousands of years later, struggling with the same questions. And, Raj, I'm just wondering what the balance is between, you know, having dogma and, you know, creating like these religious forms that really seem to work for some people and actually can be vehicles to coming to the same place of spirituality and search that you have gotten to without it, or maybe as a result of it or something. I don't know what the actual prepositional phrase is. You know, and how that comes to giving us our freedom to be spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're sitting there and wonder at the phenomenon of an orange tree, put a human face up there on the screen. It's just utterly amazing, you know, when you look around and just try to receive it. And I think that's the beginning of spirituality, is to have that kind of wonder. Because even, you know, we really treasure our sacred scriptures, whatever form they come in, and most major traditions have them, and oral or written. And one of the kernels that you find in every one of them is this thing about you're not going to get in the kingdom, you're not going to be a child of God, or whatever phrase you want to use there, unless you become like a little child. And becoming like a little child, I do not interpret as being naive or just following like a sheep. You watch a little child, they don't follow, they explore. And they are completely lost in wonder. I mean, the, the wide-eyed presence to what they're looking at. If I had a photograph of you looking in wonder at that orange tree, you would see a picture of childlikeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the childlikeness that I think is spoken of in all these scriptures, in these traditions. And that's the starting point, I think, of spirituality, is that we take in what speaks to us, that speaks to every level of us. We don't say, what am I supposed to believe? This is not belief. This is wonder. This is in the realm of mythology. You're taking forms. You're getting impressions. You're just receiving. Put it in another form. You know, anybody who's ever fallen in love, all of a sudden, in the eyes of another person, sees this total openness and acceptance and desire to merge. And, man, talk about a moment of wonder. I mean, that is a pure essence moment of spirituality in my book.
Uh-huh.
And where we get off, I think, is that after people have some wonder, they instinctively want to share it with other folks. And so they start talking about it and writing it down, and pretty soon it's in the form of a teaching or a dogma or a doctrine. All to the, you can take that as far as they did with the Inquisition. I mean, where you burn people who don't agree with what you wrote down about your experience. I mean, we can get pretty goofy with this stuff.
Right.
But if we take it back,
and
maybe we better switch subjects.
Possibly. But anyway, one of the things that is really interesting for me is this whole topic of wonder and spirituality, which I think is a great theme because, you know, when people come to Reiki and there are the very essence of the experience of Reiki seems to be, and I'm using Reiki as a very generic term here, seems to be this onset of magical and sometimes mystical experiences which, you know, ignite this part in us of wonder, I would call it. So, for instance, there are so many Reiki students who say, well, you know, I just heard this word and I knew I had to do it. I didn't know what it was. I just came to the class and something happened and then I was initiated and then I had this feeling of coming home.
Sure.
And the whole world changes. And I don't know. I mean, you've been through the initiations of first degree and second degree, and I'm just wondering, how do you place those experiences in your vocabulary of wonder?
Yeah. Well, I know how it ties in with me. When we started half hour ago, I related the experience of standing in the barnyard and seeing my mother come out of the house and realizing that I was over here, she was over there, and that we were separate.
Uh-huh.
That, all the great mystics tell us, is an illusion. We are not separate. That this whole thing of personhood and competition and that sort of thing is an illusion of the mind. That there is no separate personhood. That there's unity totally overrides that illusion of separation in reality. And that's something you find out as you grow in spiritual practice. Well, the experience of Reiki, look what it is. You put your hands on someone in silence. Look what that is. It's reconnection. No separation. You've pushed the separation out of the picture. You've gone into silence. You're not even playing one mind next to another one. You're not in your mind. You are totally in the embodiment of just your presence being connected to another presence. And it all forms one presence. That's the real working of Reiki. It destroys the illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are mystics who define evil as separation is the beginning of evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they link the two, just two different phases of the same thing. The illusion of separation is the beginning of evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a station break, and we'll be back with this conversation in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ladies, what are you willing to do to live the life of your dreams? Are you willing to start today? If your answer is yes, even if you are just mildly curious, you've got to tune in to Wise Divas with life coach and host Teresa Proctor each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Radio Network. Start living your wildest dream today. Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today Raj Elsinger from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is very outspoken about doctrine and the Catholic Church in his viewpoint, and spirituality as a definitely a daily living practice. And just when we were going on the commercial break, he was talking about some theologians who say that separation is really what is the beginning of evil, or...
Yeah, the illusion of separation. I mean, science, the ecology, the mystics, everybody who has looked deeply into how this universe works have said that there is no such thing as separation. They refer to it in different fashions, like the butterfly effect. When a butterfly flaps its wings in Japan, sometime somewhere down the road there will be a tornado in Brazil. Meaning that everything that looks small has an effect everywhere.
Right.
That's the principle they're trying to state, which means that everything is connected. It fits in with the hologram, the holographic nature
right.
of the universe that the physicists talk about.
In
my mind, the pioneers of spirituality right now are in the field of physics and in the field of silence, whatever forms that takes. Reiki is one of those that's right there in the form of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different traditions that deal with silence more. But if you're in silence in the sense of just keeping your mouth shut but your mind's going like mad, that's not what I mean by silence. Silence is when you quiet the mind, go beyond the mind, when you open the spirit to what we are part of as creative creatures in this creative expanding universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of this thing. And in mm-hmm. one very real sense, creators of it. Just mm-hmm. like the butterfly is. The whole thing is alive. They say that in reality, the physicists have declared that if you took every bit of solid matter, not just on planet Earth, but in the whole universe, and I mean we're talking about an expanse here where there are some stars the size are bigger than our sun. Our sun is called a star in physics.
Mm-hmm.
If you take some of the stars that have lived their whole life sending out light like the sun does, that whole life has been lived so far away from planet Earth that the light hasn't even gotten here yet.
Right.
Now, you can't get your mind around that kind of distance. That's what we're talking about in terms of volume here or size of the universe. It's just unimaginable. But if you took all of that so-called matter, took all the space between the particles out of it, you'd have a volume less than the size of a garden pea. You know, quarter of an inch wide diameter square sphere. That's virtually nothing in terms of solid matter.
Uh-huh.
So everything we are as part of this universe and that we look at and see and bump into is really a whirling pattern of energy, which means energy means creation. It means movement. It means change. It means form that's going into other form. It means transition. The whole thing is a boiling pot of creative mass soup of energy. And spirituality to me means that we get so quiet inside that we pick up on the subtle presence, meaning influence of all those whirling energies.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is to be spiritual, that you can be quiet enough to be in harmony with those patterns of energy that are, in our sense, eternal. And if there is such a reality as divinity, it is that whole matrix of energy. That's the sustainer, the creator, everything we call God, that's what that pattern of energy consists of.
Mm.
It's eternal, it creates, it supports, it brings into existence, it takes out, it brings it back. I mean, everything we want to say about God that I've ever seen in any of the theologies I've been through, the physicists are saying about this matrix of energy.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. I mean, these guys are theologians and don't know it.
Uh-huh. Well, it certainly brings to my mind these vignettes that I'd like to share with you. Like, the first time that I was doing Reiki treatment and my hands seemed to go inside the person that I was treating until I didn't have a physical separation between my hand and the person.
Yeah.
And this... And then another vignette was a group of Reiki masters went and had a conference at this spiritual retreat center in the north part of Germany. And we did 2 hours of Reiki exchange every day. And at the end of it, the staff members came up to us and said, you know, those 2 hours of Reiki that you did, that's your real work. And if you could do more of that, it would change our world.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a nice thing to say, but what does that mean? And just as you were speaking, I thought, well, that's what it meant. And,
sure.
You know, it's hard to see that when you're in the inside struggling with your own question of, is Reiki my imagination? Is Reiki something that I just dreamed up and believe because somebody close to me believes it too? Or is Reiki the energy something that just is, you know, something that we're, is, that's God, and we're just calling it a different name? And maybe that's true, too. I don't know. But it's very much, the point that I'm trying to make is very much that we all get caught up in these questions, and sometimes we don't pay attention to our actual experience.
Yeah, yeah. And that, and it's no wonder we don't. Look at our culture. We are intoxicated with high energy.
Mm-hmm.
How many horsepower has a Mustang got? You know, how fast can the jet go? How many people can it carry? How many megatons of destructive powers bomb got? How big is this? How we're high energy drunks in this Western world.
Uh-huh.
And what really sustains the universe is something that you're talking about that your staff picked up on.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where the illusion of separation dissolves.
Right.
And that's where you get in touch with the matrix that supports it all. So
uh-huh.
if we can pull back from all this mentally created mega stuff, which, you know, we're really attached to, and get quiet enough, there's the childlike wonder again. There you're coming back to the child who is just amazed to be in the presence of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking at a flower or a little animal or a brother
right.
or whatever. There's the childlikeness. They're not high energy drunks. They're picking up on all this subtle stuff. And that's the beginning of spirituality right there. And,
uh-huh.
and the salvation of the planet. Say nothing of, and the universe, and say nothing about us as individuals. If we're concerned about our salvation, my word of advice would be get off the big high energy stuff and start tuning in, getting quiet enough to pick up on the subtle energies.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the supporter of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the divine element. That's the presence of God. That's whatever you want to call it. Those are all mental concepts. But the reality is that what supports us is not this big bombastic stuff. In fact, that tends to upset everything. It's the subtle, quiet, you know, the little stuff, the atoms, the neurons. not the rocks and the bombs.
uh-huh.
I mean, even the atom bomb is made up of a chain reaction of little bitty atomic particles, and they're not even hardly particles. They're not sure whether they're particles or wave patterns.
Uh-huh.
You know, they argue about that. It's almost not a substance. It's that subtle. So that's how it all ties together in my mind.
Right. Well, it seems like that Reiki and this energy that Mikao Usui somehow tapped into, which is there's a lot of discussion about how that happened, but, you know, in the end, he did, and I feel like what we have received from him through some magic of his being able to transmit and pass this energy, this connection to the energy on, is really very timely, and I just think about all those people out in the world when they receive Reiki who said, well, you know, the way to save the world is to get all these people to practice Reiki. And my response was, well, yes, I think that's true, and I think that if we go with the motivation of trying to save something out there, it's the same kind of attention of, I'm going to find something out there that will save me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we need to, the training that I've had through the practice that I've been in a lot has been constantly bringing it back into my internal process. So I feel like, you know, if I treat myself, that's the best thing I can do for the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering how you see this in relationship to what you've been talking about.
Oh, boy, there's about six big puffs went up on the horizon as you were talking.
Okay, keep those in mind, Roger. Write them down because we have a station break,
okay.
And we're going to come back with Roger's...
All right.
Six puffs. Okay. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me Rog Elzinger from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we're on the last quarter of the show, which is kind of sad. As Rog said, it's like throwing a basketball out in the middle of the floor and then kind of walking away because we're just getting going. So, Rog, do you remember the six things that came up for you when I was talking about, I don't know what, back then?
Well, we'll have to pick and choose because six would only be a minute and a half here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, there's a guy out here trying to get attention.
Oh, okay. All right.
Go for it?
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things I thought, people might, that for many, many people who have been concerned about spirituality, it ties in very, very closely to people thinking about their eternal salvation or a new form of that is, am I going to get enlightened? That whole thing of their own personal welfare as a spiritual being.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always reminded, you know, the creator, the reviver of Reiki went through a 21-day retreat up in the mountain. What did he do? He got totally quiet, totally separate, dropped all his usual everything, and just got completely quiet so something could come through.
Uh-huh.
That's the nature of practicing Reiki, too, is that you're not there using your mind. You're not there to get something specific to happen. You are just there. And you are opening yourself to that movement of the universal energy, the divine matrix, the presence of God, grace, whatever you want to call it. That movement is constantly going, and it's silence that allows us to get in the flow.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the practice of Reiki was, as well as the revival of it, you know, years ago. And I'm reminded very many times of a word, of a sentence out of Krishnamurti, who is a man I go back to many, many times, especially one of his works from back in the 50s called The First and Last Freedom. It's out there in paperback, published in the 70s sometime by Harper and Collins.
Uh-huh.
Krishnamurti said that there is no transformation, and there's another word for enlightenment or salvation or self-improvement or whatever you want to talk about. There is no transformation, this is his term, without silencing the mind. There can be no transformation unless you drop all concepts, meaning knowledge from the past, things that you thought were true in the past. You got to get totally in the present, like a child lost in wonder, and you cannot have transformation if you have a belief system. In other words, any structure, any filter you're putting in front of yourself when you try to deal with the real world of your own existence and what life means, if you've got a structure saying, well, it's got to fit through this structure called my beliefs, You're out of touch. You're not going to get there because you're putting a filter there that won't let reality come through.
Uh-huh.
And so you must drop all preconceived notions and all beliefs and get totally silent in the presence. Again, back to that child lost in wonder, the only way to get into the kingdom of God, and which means is the only way to really, really become one with the divine matrix, grace, you know, the reality of creation. So I keep thinking that was one thing I thought of when you were talking right before the break, that Krishnamurti's words there are just so apropos. Drop the former knowledge, drop the concepts, drop the beliefs. That doesn't mean you reject them or deny them or anything. Just put them aside for a moment. And try to get into a space of silence where there's no preconception of any kind. And trust that you are part enough of a divine, eternal universe that those energies then will begin to revive those energies, those patterns within your own makeup, within your own consciousness.
You know, all of that reminds me of this, these two words, or a little bit more than two words, that Hawaii Otakata used to say, and that is, have no expectations.
Right, yeah. Expectation means a belief or a condition of some kind that it's got to go this way, or if it's going to be good, it's got to go this way, or it'd be bad if it went that way.
Right.
Those are all beliefs. And what are they based on except a lot of mind work? Well, we're not talking mind here. We're talking about getting out of the mind. We're talking about going beyond mind, beyond concepts, to pure awareness, pure presence, just simply being there. You're not looking in the eyes of someone that you suddenly realize you totally, totally love, thinking about concepts. I mean, you're not thinking. You're just there.
Right.
And that's what makes it so special. The thinking comes in the next instant of, oh, my God, I really love this person, or, oh, my God, they have such gorgeous eyes, or, oh, my God, they really care for me. That's all thinking. But what sparked it was that first initial thoughtless presence. And I mean thought-less, just no thought. There's no
thought. But,
no,
you know, Roger, I just want to interrupt you because we're, you know, what I also want to do is to not get the mind into a space where it's kind of like the ego these days, and a lot of New Age thought is the bad guy, and I don't want to have the mind be the bad guy either.
No. Mind is one of the most powerful tools we got, but it's exactly that. It's not our essence. It's a tool.
Well, that's a wonderful thought, because that it's not our essence, it's our tool, and that our essence is?
Our essence is this awareness of oneness with the reality of divine grace, the divine matrix. I mean, the physicists talk about the matrix of the universe. these energy patterns. We're just one manifestation of different combinations of energy in the universe. Everything else is a different combination of energies. And the essence is that we are a part of this flowing stream.
Yeah.
The more we wake up to the broader context of that, the more creative, conscious, contributory we can be in this whole process called creation.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question that comes up for you. What do you think the value is, then, of, for instance, Reiki students coming together and experiencing this in a kind of more than one way? Like, you know, there is an experience of our self-practice, which is can be very potent. There's an experience of practicing with three or four people that can be very potent. And then there's the experience of practicing with 500 people or 1,000 people. And do you feel that there is some value in that?
I think totally there is. I experienced that in TM before I experienced it in Reiki, that if you have people going beyond the mind to simple presence and connection in a group, man, that's like adding more violins to the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're all on the same tune, if they're all going into that silence, they're not there to argue concepts. That would be like adding a meat grinder to the symphony.
Right.
You know, it's dissonant. It doesn't contribute. It cancels. But if they're all playing the same instrument or fitting into the same octave or harmony, that's the silence. And that just swells. With the greater numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, I got to hold it, I guess.
Go for it, Roger.
Yeah, you only need the square root of 1% of the population doing that, and the whole population's consciousness changes.
All right.
The science.
Well, Roger,
figured
thank
out
you.
That equation.
All right. Thank
the square
you very
root
much.
Of square root of 1%. That's not much.
All right. Well, we must be part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, Roger. Thank you so much for today.
You are very welcome.
Okay. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And my mind is whirling. We'll see you next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.